Good afternoon. This is Malcolm King of the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Project. I have with me here at King's Home today John Thayers. It's the 19th of January 2012, and I'm delighted to say that we've been joined by Andy Deacon. So, hello, Andy.
Hello, afternoon.
Well, let's have a talk through your career, Andy, and start right at the beginning. Where were you born and when?
I was born in Tuffley in Gloucester in 1965. Oh. And then sort of in the latter years sort of thing, after school then I sort of like moved to Long Leven sort of thing, and then that's where my club rugby started. It was for Long Leven's after playing in school, at Beaufort School with then the schoolmaster was John Simonette sort of thing, so the Gloucester number 8. So I had a good start in sort of like the coaching aspect in what it meant to play for Gloucester when I went to school, a comprehensive school. It wasn't overly a great school for rugby at the time, because basically when I went there, I was only 5 years old anyway, so I had a very young history. So from there on in, from my year, we had 3 years sort of unbeaten, really, sort of thing. I was captain of school, and we had a very good side at school. And then a few of the guys then lived in Long Leven's, and then I ended up moving to Long Leven's sort of thing. And then from there, playing for Long Leven, so and that's where, you know, the actual senior side of my rugby started from there, really.
Were you in a rugby playing family?
No, not at all. Well, that said, other than my brothers, prior to being my brother, then my dad sort of like, he was a sort of football player, really, more than a rugby player. Then my brother, who's played sort of like nearly 500 times for Long Leven, the second row sort of thing. So, you know, we played together when, and he's 5 years older than me, so. We played together at Long Leven's, and you know, like I say, apart from me and him, they're in the family. There's not a lot else like sort of like rugby heritage wise, isn't it?
Yeah. So when did you start at Long Leven's?
Well, I started there when I was at school, and then we used to go because I knew my friends used to play at Long Leven's. We started there when I was about 13, so in my first team debut at 15, the last game of the season of that year of the 15th year. And then sort of like went on then from played in the old the next season 17-18, then I was 19, I was captain, and from then it started then my period from just my transition of going to sort of like Gloucester, really. Those days I was second row, so and it was a gradual transition forward to the front row. It was a case of you know, very difficult upbringing, as in rugby wise, and the combination then was sort of like, you know, it was a brutal arena then to play, actually, for a young guy sort of thing as well. So not so much now, because a lot of young people are playing at that level. Back then there was a lot of older guys playing, and if you managed to push yourself into the size, it was a case of you know, you had to hold your own, which luckily I did. And then from then we had various coaches like Derek Cook and Dave Humphries. They again, back in that period, you would sort of like just, they would suggest that you enter Gloucester to play in a trial against the Reds and Yellows sort of thing.
So it was Long Leven's that moved you up?
Yeah, very much so, sort of thing. It's, you know, they had a great history at that time, that period of, I was sort of at the end of the golden era, really, of all the people like Derek Morgan, Michael Creedy, and all those sort of guys, Pete Jones, Ian Smith, and you can name Dave Sims. There's a hell of a lot of guys that actually played junior rugby and then came through, because at the time, like, it's unheard of now sort of thing, but Long Leven's were sort of like pioneers of junior rugby, hence why there was a lot of people from there to there, and which was, you know, and I was sort of like the end of it, or there's been a few since, but actually some of the ones that may have played or a big contribution to Gloucester then at that time. So, and like the coaches then, you just said, well, just fancy it, and you know, I come the 1 year, I can't exactly remember, the late 80s then sort of thing, that must have been, and then just pitched up on my bike and sort of like put against the wall, and you just walked in, and then Peter Ford was there, and you just put your name on the wall, and then they sort of like, you go out, and then you'd have a bit of a run round, and then you then sort of like get involved in the game, and then go away again, and then you put your details down. Obviously there was no mobiles, no emails then or anything like that. You just put your own number down, you'd get a call. Or they call the club, or someone would find a way through to communicate it. And I said, oh, do you want to come down for training? And then that's what I did. I came down for training, and couldn't get a game, went back to Long Leven's, and then again, in those days, there was no registration of players or anything like that, so you could just go from here back to Don Levis and play them back the other way, so which I did, and gradually so I got more time in the United than I did at Long Levens, and it sort of like, and it never came if I was a Gloucester player and a Long Levens, it just evolved really into sort of like being a Gloucester player, and from then on in you had then like basically three good solid years playing United rugby in a very good United team sort of thing. The prior, when I started regularly, it was the year when they went unbeaten, so we went to South Wales Police, I think it was, in, I made my debut then, I think, you might tell me differently, but I think I made my debut in then, and...
You made your debut in the 1987-88 season,
and
just played the one game.
Yeah, this was United, this was United.
That was the first team.
And so I, that game, my claim to get fame was they haven't lost for sort of like 40-odd games, which is like a season and a half, and... They lost that game, and that was my debut sort of thing. So I didn't have a most sort of like successful start at it sort of thing. But then on in, I had a very good run in the United, which was, you know, then days that was the way, that was where you did it. You had to sort of like do a good solid apprenticeship. And I think a lot of people was like that. I didn't think there was. I was thinking sort of like, you know, when I had the invite to speak with this, the people that just come in that era and just sort of like made it and then just jumped into the first team, it didn't sort of happen. You had to sort of like evolve and earn your stripes before you can get a, you know, pop at it sort of thing, which I was lucky enough to go through that period and do it sort of thing. So,
did you have a mentor who sort of taught you the black arts of the front row, or did you have to find out for yourself?
Again, a regular asked question, and I would say 100% I had to learn myself sort of thing. There wasn't, it isn't like it is now, you have mentors and stuff like that, you learn by your mistakes, and you learn by harsh, and it could hurt by, you know, the mistakes that you made sort of thing, but the fact was, it was a kid, you did. And in those days, it was very much dog eat dog. It was, you know, if you don't do it, then I'll do it, because I want to play. And it's a different mindset to what it is now. So, you know, a sort of from a young academy player to get to where he is, which I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but in those days, it was sort of like, you're there, right? You got proof to us that you can do it. And asking for a bit of advice back then seems sort of like a bit of a weakness sort of thing, like, do you know what I mean? Which, you know, you didn't want to show any weakness so that you could sort of thing. So, you know, I was, you know, Richard Pascal was sort of like, you know, he was in predominantly in front of me then, and Bob Phillips and those sort of guys after him. And then, I very rare did, that said, sort of, if anyone, I would say Bob Phillips was sort of like, he's a very good man, he's a, you know, and he wanted a good for Gloucester sort of thing, and he could see the potential in me, and then, he often said, you know, words of wisdom sort of thing, but generally, you know, you had to find your own way, sort of, and luckily I did.
And what do you remember of that first game with the United?
I just remember sort of the feeling that not to let anyone down, really, that was what I was sort of, you know, because you had this big step up from, because it was a big step up then as well, and he was going from Long Levens to sort of like Gloucester United, or it wasn't in the first team, but it was a big step up, and you was playing with people that you knew that you've sort of like played in the first, or you know, you knew you played for Gloucester, so you just didn't want to make yourself look a fool really, and sort of like to get through it and to play well, and so you get another go at it and another go at it to build your reputation and your you know, career ahead. And again, as being a youngish, you're in your early 20s and sort of thing, you didn't look too far ahead though, so you just looked at that game in that season and see what you could get, and then looking back, people sort of like, you know, they do summaries and analyse everything now sort of thing, you just, you got what you got, and then basically you had to start it again the next year, and that's what you had to do, and it was no different for a while, for a lot, even though when I was playing for United, we came and you still had to play in those, you know, those trial games to start again, to prove yourself, and which you did once you got in the first team, it did sort of like change sort of thing. But those initial times, it was, you know, you very much so, well, let's not let anyone down, and sort of like, you know, be proud of what you're wearing, the shirt that is.
Just going back again slightly, when you were a teenager, when obviously you were playing at school and then Long Levens, but did you come down to King's Home to watch the rugby here at all?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And again, it was nothing like it is now with the kids and that. You know, the big night out was a Wednesday night sort of thing, you know, as a kid and a teenager then. It was more a teenager more than from early teens through from then, really. And, you know, you you sort of like you look forward to the Wednesday night, and it's a big crowd, and you know everyone there from a rugby club was there. People had pockets of where rugby clubs stood and stuff like that.
You know? So where was your bit of the ground?
Yeah, we stood under the clock actually all the time. Yeah, under the clock we stood all the times. It wasn't that case like where you all meet or anything or arranged to meet. You just arrived and everyone was there. Watched the game, and that was my sort of like, you know, I often thought when I was watching it'd be nice to be doing that, it'd be nice to, and then, but you never actually, it's a weird thing to say, you want, but it's never like, and it'd be nice to do, wonder what it was like, but because you thought you would never get there, it was never an ambition. It's a weird thing to say, but like when I set out, I've, you know, did I want to play for Gloucester? Yes, I did, but all the way through it, I sort of like just kept going and kept going and kept going. And then people say, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you play this? And then you got paid for that, paid for that. And then you say you made this interview and you look back on it now, and then you can sort of like analyse it and, you know, talk about it and why it happens.
When you were, you know, in your teenage years standing under the clock, were there, are there particular players or indeed matches that stand out in your memory?
I don't think there's one particular match. I think sort of the players of sort of like, you know, like Richard Margu were sort of like, you know, not necessarily in my position, but more like people who played for a long time sort of thing. Who, and you got, because I was there, and then people had long careers and sort of like, say, like Richard Margu, Mike Hamlin, Malcolm Creedy. They was all sort of, I was watching them. And then I ended up playing with them, and then they retired, and then I kept going. So the era that I was actually watching, I actually played with at the end, or most of them, sort of thing, because they were, you know, mid-20s, and so that, you know, you thought they were established, which they were established. And the side back then, again, you guys know more than me about it, but there seemed to be a group of players that played in that era just before professionalism, like the most, like say Mike Hamlin's and all those sort of guys, Muggy and all that, Derek Morgan and people like Ian Smith, John Gadd, Mike Teague, all those. That was the era that I've sort of like watched and played with, sort of thing. And it was a transitional period where they retired, and then I moved on to another era with another group of players. And I went through different eras with different group of players, because luckily I had a long career at it. So, but yeah, that was. Like the, I remember sort of like Mickey Booth and stuff like that, way back sort of thing. Like, do you know what I mean? But they were sort of like, you know, right at the beginning of sort of my memory of watching Gloucester. Obviously, Mike Burton, he was a standout, like for, you know, for what he'd done really. And you know, so you sort of like knew him rather by name, but as opposed to I want to be him sort of thing. He wasn't nothing like that really. But like I say, the guys were sort of like from what I watched, I ended up playing with, which is nice.
Yeah.